What is up, guys? My name's Jordan. I'm back with my old man Howie, and welcome to the latest episode of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Week 10 in the NFL. Hard to believe the season is more than halfway over, at least the regular season. But we're back to talk about some fantasy football matchups, fantasy football implications for the upcoming week. Before we hit up football, anything going on in any other sports that we should take note of?
I mean, the Astros won the World Series.
That's true. And the Astros won the World Series for the second time in how many years?
Five. Six. They won in 2017 and 2022, and they've made and they've lost in two others, I believe.
Yeah,
one or two others.
They're definitely having some success. You know, got to give Philly credit too. From a sports perspective, all of their teams seem to be doing pretty well.
And then
MLB postseason awards coming up soon this week.
Not postseason, but league awards. I assume everyone expects Judge to win, Verlander to win, Cy Young, Judge to win MVP.
Yeah.
And then in the NBA world, we can discuss some of the major headlines in the beginning of the season. The LA Lakers, Golden State Warriors struggling. I don't know what I'm more surprised about, to be honest.
Well, I think Golden State, I mean, they won the championship last year. They brought back the same team. So yeah. I think that's more surprising. I think a lot of people expected the Lakers to struggle. I mean, Westbrook coming off the bench and having success, I think, might have been the most surprising thing.
Yeah. They still can't buy a win, though.
They have to make a decision what they want to do with that team because, you know, they got a lot of money tied up in LeBron. Westbrook will be a free agent after this year. Anthony Davis, you know, I don't know. I saw somebody saying that the Knicks could make a trade for Anthony Davis. Personally, I wouldn't do it.
Yep. And then on the positive side of the NBA, Giannis and the Bucks are dominating the league. 9-1, started off 9-0. And I think it's clear who the two favorites for MVP are to start the season, Luka and Giannis. Luka had a game earlier today, dropped his streak of 30 plus points. His streak of 30 plus points ended, but he finished with 24-6-6, three steals, two blocks, and a tough loss to the Magic.
Yeah, and Pablo Banchero didn't even play. The only thing I would say with Luka is he's putting up incredible statistics, and he probably likes it that way. He hasn't meshed when he's had like an alpha two on the team, like Kristaps Porzingis, but you can't win a championship that way.
Yeah.
And I think the bigger story is the Dallas Mavericks' inability year after year to surround Luka with a better supporting cast. That puts him in a
Well, they got Christian Wood, but they lost Brunson. They lost some key players there. I think another surprise that we could talk about, the Jazz, 9-3.
That's unreal.
And
especially when they were dumping players. Well, yeah. I wouldn't even say dumping players. They were trading star players. But
I think one of the biggest surprises is Lauri Markkanen. If you look at his stats, if I can pull them up real quick. But before I pull them up, we could talk about some of the players on their team besides him. You got Colin Sexton. I don't even know. Who else do you even have on Utah that's performing? You got Markkanen, Colin Sexton, Mike Conley, Jordan Clarkson, Malik Beasley. Lauri Markkanen this season is averaging 22 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists.
Yeah. Guy got an opportunity to play on a team that needed players.
Yep.
But, yeah, no, it's pretty crazy. I don't even think Danny Ainge expected them to be as good as they are.
Yeah, they're great. The Blazers look pretty good.
I will see if the Jazz can sustain over time.
Yeah, but definitely impressive.
Good start. Definitely. It's just weird. It's weird how things work out sometimes, like with Golden State being the way they are. By the way, the Nets fired Steve Nash. We were talking about whether or not it made sense to hire the coach from Boston, the disgraced coach from Boston. I said it made no sense because that team's going to be trading Kevin Durant before the trading deadline. I think they're going to be in a full-on rebuild. And I think Jacques Vaughn is the perfect coach, like a player's coach, develop some of the younger guys. But major disappointment for that team with the Kyrie Irving stuff. And as well as Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is awful. It's just
I mean, maybe you just want to chalk it up to him being rusty, but man, then sort of got fleeced when they traded Harden, and Simmons was the key piece they got in return.
I agree. So,
trying to think of what else. Soccer, don't mention soccer much, but I actually watched the MLS championship this past week in the Philadelphia Union and the LA team. Thought that was pretty cool, actually. It went to like overtime and then penalty kicks. There's just an insatiable appetite for sports in this country. Budweiser bought a pickleball team. I saw Netflix is looking to buy professional sports leagues. It's just right now there is just a craze.
Yeah. I mean,
to get content that attracts audiences. Pickleball and
you see some of the wealthier people in the world, Elon Musk buying Twitter, Bezos just trying to buy the Commanders with Jay-Z and McConaughey. There's a lot of sports things going on today.
Well, the Commanders are going to be sold, and I do think Jeff Bezos is going to buy
Bezos,
whatever his name is, with a mix of sort of celebrity people joining him. But I literally saw today the Attorney General for the District of Columbia is going to be announcing charges against the Redskins tomorrow. And in one of the more pathetic things I've seen in sports in a while, and that's saying a lot considering some of the stuff with Kyrie Irving, the Washington Commanders issued a press release in anticipation of what's going to happen tomorrow with the Attorney General. And the lead-in statement was something like, after we dealt with one of the better stories this year, which was a 23-year-old running back coming back from being shot to play, now we have to deal with this attorney general tomorrow. Disgusting, actually. Yeah. Absolutely disgusting. But anyway,
we're living
in a strange world. The crypto world is collapsing for people who got involved in it. But anyway, we always have sports.
Yeah.
And when you have sports, it's something to take your mind off of everyday stuff, for lack of a better way to put it. So without further ado, I don't know if you want to skip the Thursday night game.
I'll just say Kyle Pitts, Dante Foreman. I'll leave it at that.
DJ Moore.
Actually, Chuba
Hubbard is coming back.
I will say someone. Terrence Marshall in PPR past 2 weeks. Has gotten, I think, 7-plus targets in both games. Has gotten above double digits. If you're in need of a wide receiver who's out this week, you can look towards Terrence Marshall. He's been very good the past 2 weeks.
Only in PPR, though?
Yes.
Okay.
That pretty much does it for that game.
DJ Moore. Jordan, DJ Moore.
I think that's a given, DJ though. Sorry, DJ Moore.
But also, by the way, with Foreman, Chuba Hubbard is coming back, so...
No, he's not for sure yet. He's questionable, but...
And Cordarrelle Patterson, dude. You can't be so quick to like rush through. Patterson had 2 touchdowns last week.
Yeah.
He's clearly the goal line back for the Falcons. And yeah, I wouldn't be so dismissive. I mean, Mariota's been serviceable when guys are on bye. Obviously staying away from the Panthers quarterback, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
On to the Germany game Sunday morning. Interesting. I remember games in London, games in Mexico. I don't recall any other games in Germany.
Yeah. Actually, in our league that we're in together, I have 4 people in this game, which is crazy to think about. But this did actually be interesting. The Bucks got a much-needed win last week. Brady proving why he's the GOAT, coming back against...
I don't even know if that's proving he's the GOAT. I mean, that's more of the Rams being the Rams. Yeah. But listen.
This should definitely be a fun one with... 2 teams we expected to be on the opposite ends of the win-loss column. Seahawks coming into the game, I think, at 6-3. Yeah, 6-3. Geno Smith, front runner for comeback player of the year alongside Saquon. Probably give the edge to Geno, though. Just leading that team. They look good on both sides of the ball. Geno, Kenneth Walker, obviously, must start. He's been phenomenal as the sole back in the backfield.
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett and
DK. Put him in the ground.
Yep. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, I think you could start them confidently. And Jason Myers, the kicker, I think he's been top three this year. Plug him in, too. And then the Buccaneers side, Tom Brady. I don't think the Seahawks have the best secondary. I think you got to start him. The backfield has been a little iffy the past 2 weeks with Fournette and Rashad White. Fournette actually said he was frustrated after last game and his lack of play. So I think you still got to start Leonard Fournette, but keep an eye on Rashad White if he's on your waivers or if you want him as a handcuff. And then Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, start him up both on PPR, PPR leagues. And if Cameron Brate's out again, Cade Otton.
He did practice today, Cameron Brate. So. Okay. You got to keep an eye on that. But the other thing I would mention, one of the more interesting stories, non-fantasy necessarily, is the fact that, you know, the Seattle Seahawks are thriving without Russell Wilson there.
Yep.
And Pete Carroll has made no bones about the fact that he's happy that Russell Wilson is no longer there, which is interesting because certainly my impression is that, you know, that was like his team and they won a championship there and what have you, but I guess you never really know what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, the Seahawks are leading that loaded division. If they can get a win this week, that would be huge. I mean, the 49ers, Cardinals, and Rams. I mean, that would be very impressive to win that division. Moving on to the first 1 o'clock game. Hopefully Josh Allen plays because this is lining up to be a fantasy gold mine, for a lack of better term. But you got
Case Keenum, a revenge game.
Well, if Josh Allen is out, it's actually the reverse Minneapolis miracle because you got Case Keenum and Stephon Diggs going against their former team on the Vikings. But I assume Josh Allen's going to play. I think he wants to win this game after a surprising loss last week against the Jets. So looking at the Bills side, if Josh Allen plays, Josh Allen obviously must start, his best player in fantasy. Stephon Diggs, even if Case Keenum's a quarterback, you got to start him. In the backfield, I think backfield actually a little all over the place. Nyheim Hines should get some work this week, but I don't feel confident in Singletary or Nyheim Hines in either league just because it's up in the air right now. Gabe Davis, if Allen plays, obviously. If not, Gabe Davis is not a must start if Case Keenum's there, but a lot of buys happening this week, so I think you can start him. Dawson Knox, unless there's another, like, Dolkich on the Broncos or Cade Otton if Cameron Brady doesn't play. I think you got to roll with Knox. Yeah. And then on the Viking side,
Knox has not been that great this year, by the way.
And then on the Viking side, I'm pretty sure you can start everyone on that offense. Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Hockenson, Jefferson, Thielen. I think all those guys are must starts in a big game like this.
I think Thielen's banged up, by the way. Hockenson, yeah. Thielen, you know, if you don't have any other better options.
But that should be a very fun game. Two of the top teams in the league battling it out. And then if the Bills find a way to lose and the Jets are on bye this week, but the Jets would have the tiebreaker over the Bills, and so would the Dolphins. So
that's whacked.
So I think Josh Allen should play. I think he's going to play through it. He can play through the pain. Tough guy, so that game should be a fun one to keep an eye out for this weekend, especially for fantasy. Do you want to take the Lions-Bears?
Yeah. Lions-Bears. I don't think DeAndre Swift is getting a full workload at this point. You might want to play him as a flex.
Same thing for Williams, too. You can play him as a flex. Yeah.
Well, Williams, I think, is more of an RB2, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Just because Swift hasn't shown that he's fully healthy. On the Lions, besides that, Amon-Ron St. Brown, you're probably starting if you have him.
Yep.
Jared Goff, depends on if you have other options as a quarterback. Who are the Lions going against?
Bears. Justin Fields, the emergence.
Yeah, Justin Fields all of a sudden now is the darling, you know, fantasy QB, probably top 7, top 8. I know Matthew Berry loves him. You're going to start him if you have him. Darryl Mooney has been getting a lot of targets the last couple of weeks.
Darnell
too, as well. Darnell and Darryl. Darnell Mooney, you're probably going to start him if you have him. Cole Kmet has started to come on the last couple of weeks as well. You're probably starting him. You know, David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, it's really, you know, sort of flex RB2 at the end, you know.
I think you could start Montgomery this week just because the Lions run defense is not the best.
Yep. And so I think that's pretty much the guys.
And Chase Claypool, if you need a guy who's on the bench.
I would rather see how he integrates into that offense, to be honest with you. I would definitely take Mooney over him, if given the choice.
This should be a fun one. Jaguars, Chiefs. I think you're starting everyone on the Chiefs, except for the backfield. Backfield still. The Chiefs pass so much. I think
they just don't get enough. I mean, it's like you're lucky. Like, I picked up Isaiah Pacheco in a league, and he really hasn't done much.
Yeah.
You know, even when Clyde Edwards-Helaire was getting some couple more carries earlier in the season, he was really just squeezing as much as he could with touchdowns and stuff like that.
I think it's also that it was a very bad game script for the running backs last week. So if they go up on the Jaguars, maybe. But I don't know if you could safely start any of the three with Jerick McKinnon, Pacheco, and Helaire, or Helaire. But Kelsey,
Hardman missed practice today, by the way.
If Hardman's out, I think you could start MVS, Valdez-Scantling. Juju emerging as the wide receiver one on that team, starting with confidence. Same thing with Kelsey, obviously. Not much needed to be said there. And on the Jaguar side, Trevor Lawrence is almost like a 50-50 play. If you have one of those guys on buys, you can plug him in the lineup. I expect this game to have a lot of points. ETN, enough to be said. He's been a star. Start him with confidence.
And what, like Christian Kirk?
Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram, I think you could also start.
And maybe Zay Jones is a flex.
Maybe.
It's not a given, depending on what your other options are.
That shouldn't be a bad game, though.
No, agreed.
Moving on. Browns, Dolphins, Tua has been, I think he's 5-0 as a starter this year. Him having Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle clearly does wonders for his value in fantasy. But on the Dolphins side, you're starting both those receivers and Tua. The backfield actually was pretty interesting last week. Jeff Wilson, I think, got more play than Mostert.
That's surprising.
Yeah, but I honestly think you could start both of them. I don't have a problem. I think Jeff Wilson's the passing guy, and Mostert's going to be the goal line guy who gets the main touches, but I don't think I have a problem with either of them at the moment. And then,
You know what it is? Most of these backfields, there isn't like just a clear-cut workhorse. So, you know, when you get situations like this, especially with a number of teams on bye, you're almost forced to give it a shot at starting both these guys and hoping for the best.
Yep. And then on the other side, you got the Browns. Chubb, plug him in. He's been a stud this year. Mari Cooper, you could start him. And another guy to keep an eye out for, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I think he's at double digits in PPR the past 2 weeks. So if you're in need of a guy, if you have an injury, if like you have a guy like Thielen and you need a guy, I don't think DPJ is a bad start this week, but obviously it comes with risk. However, it could come with high reward, but I expect the Dolphins to win that game. I expect Hill and Waddle to continue doing what they're doing. And, yeah, that pretty much does it for that game. Now, this game, you could take it if you want. It's going to be a battle of the running backs, Giants, Texans. I think pretty self-explanatory. You could take it, though.
Yeah, I mean, on the Giants, really, you're just starting Saquon, you know, top five, top three back, maybe even number one back this year. Maybe Daniel Jones, but hopefully you have better options.
I think you can roll with Daniel Jones because the Texans have the worst run defense by a lot.
I just feel like the Giants have so many. Giants are so banged up. Xavier McKinney hurt his hand over the break. They're going to be missing him.
Yeah.
But on the Houston side, probably Damian Pierce and maybe Brandon Cooks.
Maybe. And, yeah, Damian Pierce was limited today. I expect him to play. But if not, Rex Burkhead would be the guy there. And, yeah, we have two more 1 o'clock games. Broncos-Titans. Malik Willis Ryan Tannehill doesn't matter. I think the only guy you can start there is Derrick Henry. He's their entire offense. And on the Broncos side, oof. Do you start any Dolchik? Yeah, I think he's like the only guy you could really like safely start.
What about Latavius?
He's splitting in the back. I think he's had double digits actually the past 2 weeks, but in PPR, but it's so up in the air. The Broncos just Russell Wilson's not performing like we expect him to.
Well, they are coming off a bye, yeah. So maybe.
Judy has some value in non-PPR just because he's a deep ball threat, and then Sutton has the PPR value, but I don't know. That game, I would stay away from it. Any players except for Derrick Henry and maybe Dolchik.
Well, and both defenses.
Yeah. I expect that to be a low-scoring game.
And for if you had to make a choice between the Giants D, the Titans D, and the Denver D.
Titans. They locked down the Mahomes for like three quarters last week.
Yeah, and even with really just running the ball all the time.
Yep.
That's my choice. In fact, I'd go Denver before the Giants too.
Yep. Final 1 o'clock game should be ugly. I think I don't even know who you start besides Kamara and Olave, but it's the Saints Steelers. Kamara, Olave.
Saints D.
That's it.
Are you big on Saints D on the road?
Yeah, I don't even. The only thing I'll say about the Steelers, keep. Actually, I will say something. Freiermuth has gotten double digit points, I think, and he's been good and not. He's been somewhat valuable in non PPR. But other than that, keep an eye on Jalen Warren. The Steelers said they expect him to get more touches today. Najee has not been it, but. And Najee can't thrive in that offense. I don't know if Jalen Warren can, but. I guess we'll see, but I don't.
And Pickett's probably going to be number one receiver, but you really got to see.
Quarterback.
I'm sorry, quarterback. But who's the receiver?
Oh, Deontay.
No, and who's the other? Who's the rookie?
Oh, Pickens.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, I thought you said Pickett. Pickett, you said.
Maybe I did, but I meant Pickens. Yeah, listen, the Steelers are a mess.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate for their coach.
Yep. And now 3-4 are later games. Colts Raiders, Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs, Derek Carr, Darren Waller. I think you can start them. Maybe Hunter Renfro, maybe not. Colts side, Sam Ellinger is awful.
Yeah, Taylor practiced today, but you got to start him if you have him. But
and Pittman too. I expect Pittman to do better. Pittman went up against a very good defense last week. The Raiders are pretty vulnerable, even though I'm starting the Raiders defense in one league this week. But I think you could start Pittman and Taylor on the Colts, but no one else.
Even Pittman, I don't even know. If you have him, you probably have to start him, but keep your expectations in check.
I agree. And now two of the – actually, I don't even know if this is a good game. Packers-Cowboys. Cowboys defense – top defense, got to roll with them. Dak, got to roll with him. CD, and then
maybe Gallup as a flex.
Maybe, and then on the running back side, Pollard has
the tight end too.
Oh, Dalton Schultz.
Yes.
And then in the backfield, Pollard and Zeke seem to be splitting half and half. I honestly prefer Pollard, especially in PPR.
Oh my God. I think everybody does. Yeah. And Zeke may not even play. I saw it today. He said he's got to see pain tolerance and stuff like that. My guess is he's going to sit, which is probably the best for everybody.
Yep. So I expect Pollard to have a decent day. And then on the Packer side, Lazard.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Lazard.
Jones banged up.
Yeah. If he doesn't go, I think you got to start A.J. Dillon. And then Lazard's actually been pretty decent in PPR. So I think you could start him too.
Right.
And last but not least, the
You're not even mentioning Aaron Rodgers?
No. Yeah, at this point, if you don't have a guy like Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, you got to have another.
Even Daniel Jones.
You got to have another guy if you're like Rodgers on your team, unless it's like a two quarterback league. It's just he just has not been good this year. And then the last late game, Cardinals Rams divisional matchup.
That's the Sunday night matchup.
No. This is the last like 4:25 matchups. You got. Yeah. Cardinals, Rams, Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Zach Ertz are the must starts there. Rondell Moore has actually been pretty decent with Marquise Brown being out, so you can give him a look if you need a guy. And then the backfield's kind of iffy for the Cardinals. James Conner, Eno Benjamin, they're splitting. And usually they resort to Kyler for the running. So I think you got to start James Conner, but keep your expectations low. And on the Rams side, interesting, Stafford's actually in the concussion protocol today. And if he's out based off the recent concussion rules, obviously you're starting Kupp. But everyone else pretty much gets a downgrade on that offense. Higbee, Allen Robinson. The backfield is also a mess. Cam Akers, Henderson. I think the only guy who can really start is Kupp.
Yep. Agreed.
And now the night game should actually be pretty good. Chargers, 49ers.
The Chargers are just so
banged up. Yeah, they're so banged up.
I'm probably going to start Geno over Herbert.
Yeah, I'm starting Tua over Herbert, but I think unless you got another guy like Tua or one of those top guys, maybe Justin Fields, I think you got to roll with Herbert. Eckler, obviously starting. Keenan Allen's day-to-day. I expect him to sit out again as well as Mike Williams. So that makes Josh
just entering the downside of his career at this point. Yep.
But that gives a bump to Josh Palmer, and Gerald Everett has actually been a top 10 tight end the entire season, so you could start him up too. And on the 49ers side, whole offense. I wouldn't even, unless you got better options, Jimmy G's not a bad start this week. McCaffrey.
Yeah, Debo practice.
Debo, IU, Kittle. And interesting, Elijah Mitchell actually was activated off the IR. I don't expect him to get a ton of play just because of McCaffrey, but you keep an eye on that. If you have McCaffrey, you need a handcuff. So that pretty much does it for the Sunday night game. That should be a fun one down in California. And for the last game of the week, Commanders-Eagles. Eagles. I mean, Eagles are rolling. They've had, I think, the easiest schedule. Hurts. Yep.
And people are starting to talk about them going undefeated, which is a little crazy. But
yeah. You got Hurts, Miles Sanders, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Goddard all leading the way for that offense. I think you got to start all of them. They've all been great this year, especially Goddard, actually very impressive. He had a great game last week. Eagles defense. I think everyone on the Eagles is startable. And then on the Commander side, Heinicke still is the quarterback. Gibson, Brian Robinson, J.D. McKissick still three-headed backfield. So no one's a for sure there. But I think you can start Terry McLaurin in PPR, non-PPR, and maybe Curtis Samuel in PPR just because he gets a decent amount of targets regardless of the quarterback. He actually had a ridiculous touchdown last week being triple teamed, but yeah, I expect that game to be a shootout. So, you know, typical week in the NFL. And then these are the weeks you got to win for
playoffs.
Playoffs. This is like,
it's almost Thanksgiving. I mean, I know. 2 weeks.
And
crazy. Jordan counting the days. We didn't even talk about college football last weekend.
Oh, yeah. What a weekend.
It was. At least, listen, I haven't been a big college football fan for a long time, but certainly.
Yep. No bias. Weekends. No bias, even though I go to Michigan, but Alabama losing, Clemson losing. And Alabama losing in the fashion that they did was ridiculous to watch. Clemson, people have been saying they don't know if they're for real or not. I think we finally got to see if they were for real, and clearly they don't look like a playoff team this year. Georgia continued their domination. I don't know if you can say destroyed, but they convincingly beat Tennessee. I still expect Tennessee to make the playoffs just because they're a one-loss team. They've beaten every SEC team and lost to the best team in the country. So they won't make the SEC championship, but with a one loss in that division, I think they'll be fine. So it really comes down to Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, and Oregon. And TCU has a very tough matchup. Well, I'll start with Ohio State, Michigan. They play each other Thanksgiving. TCU plays Texas this week, and that's going to be a very tough matchup on the road. And Oregon plays three top 25 teams. And then their championship. So it's going to come down to the stretch. And people tend to forget Oregon's only loss was to Georgia. So
I forgot that. But Oregon could sneak in.
They could.
You know?
Bo Nix.
I guess the question is, does the loser of the assuming Ohio State and Michigan are undefeated, does the loser still have an opportunity to take it into the playoffs?
If TCU goes undefeated and wins their championship, I don't see a way where they take a one loss Michigan Ohio State ahead of an undefeated TCU team. But
yeah, but you still have room.
No, no, because it's going to be Georgia no matter what, the winner of the Ohio State-Michigan game, Tennessee, and then TCU.
What, you think Tennessee's still getting in?
100%.
Right now?
Yeah.
Even though this week they're not rated.
Well, Ohio State and Michigan, if their one loss is going to be behind Tennessee's one loss, because Tennessee lost to the best team, and they beat Alabama.
Right.
So, it really is going to come down to the loser of the Ohio State Michigan game, Oregon and TCU, for those spots.
Now Oregon's probably not losing again. Basically,
well, Oregon has three top 25 matchups and then their championship, so should be interesting. I think they play Washington, Utah, and someone else, and then TCU. The only way they lose is to Texas this week, or their Big 12 champ. Or yeah, I believe they're Big 12 or Pac, but should be. An interesting final 3 weeks, especially with Thanksgiving coming up. A lot of good games to look forward to. And, yeah, that pretty much does it for football.
Hard to believe it's going to be.
I know it just started. NCAA basketball started, too. No major upsets or anything, but
you going to go to any games this year?
Probably. But I think we all just want March Madness. Well, once the football season's over.
Let's not get crazy.
No, no. I mean, like, for college basketball, everyone watches for March Madness. So, but obviously
we're... Let's not rush it, buddy. We gotta
I know.
Between now and then.
I know.
Okay. Well,
that pretty much covers everything.
Been another good one, folks.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about the bloodline. Sami Zayn making these guys corpse out.
I don't even think we need to talk about it anymore just because how good they are.
Okay.
But thanks again, guys, for listening. I think two shows from now we're going to be live because I'll be home. So,
well, we're going to be recording the same way, but Jordan means we'll be in the same structure.
Yep.
Recording, and I know he's counting down the days.
Yep, can't wait to be back with my old man. But that pretty much does.
What's in the background there?
Dude, it's our fans. They hear us.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for joining, everybody. If you give it a listen and you like it, tell the people you know to give it a listen. And
yep,
we're accepting sponsors. So
we appreciate all you guys.
Sponsoring, we'll review your application and think about how we can squeeze you into the laundry list of sponsors.
Thank you guys again for listening. Tell your friends. Appreciate you all. And good luck in your fantasy matchups this week. See ya.
But
wait, we are